This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بكت عيني بكت عيني بكت عيني على ذنبي وما لاقيت من كربي فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله All praise is due to Allah, the Majestic and the Most High. We worship Him alone, and upon Him do we rely. He saved the Ark of Nuh on Mount Judi, and He spoke to Musa on Mount Sinai. He commanded Ibrahim alayhi salam to build the Kaaba, and He protected Isa from being crucified. He hears the plea of the one in distress, and He responds to the silent cry. He revealed the Quran, whose recitation with our voices we beautify, and He sent to us a prophet whose sunnah we strive to exemplify, and He taught us how our hearts to purify. So may salat and salam be upon the one whose prophethood no sincere person can deny. As to what follows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created man in constant turmoil and struggle. Allah azza wa jal reminds us that man is created always struggling, always anxious for something else, never satisfied with what he or she has. It is the nature of man to be consumed with anxiety. Grief is a part and parcel of existence, and no human being is ever free of some worry or anxiety. And no matter what state we are in, no matter what we have and what we don't have, we find that anxiety clouds our existence. So the one who is poor is anxious and worried, desiring to be rich, desiring to have wealth. The one who is wealthy and rich is always worried about losing that wealth. The one who does not have children is anxious and grief-struck that he wants to have children. And the one who has children, so many of the anxieties come from the children as well. The one who is single wants to be married. The one who is married does not find full peace within marriage. This is the reality of human existence. So the question arises, if anxiety, if grief is a part and parcel of existence, then what should be done to combat? How do we overcome the feelings of concern, the feelings of grief that overwhelm us? Ibn al-Qayyim mentions that never does Allah mention grief and worry in the Quran, except that He commands us not to have it, or He gives us good tidings that it shall be lifted from us. Never does Allah mention anxiety in the Quran, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to get rid of that anxiety. فَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Don't give up and don't be worried. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. And you shall be victorious. Allah is telling them, don't be worried. Or the other alternative in the Quran, Allah gives glad tidings that a future shall come when there is no worry, there is no grief. Allah says in the Quran, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. The real muttaqeen, the real pious of Allah, they shall have no cause to worry, nor shall they ever be scared. So Allah gives the glad tidings that a time will come when worry shall be gone. And of course, the ultimate time when there shall be no grief and worry, the ultimate abode when there is no ham or huzn, when there is no grief and sorrow, that is Jannah. And that is why when the people of Jannah enter Jannah, the first thing that they will say as soon as they enter Jannah and the angels give them salam, the first thing they will say, Alhamdulillahi alladhi adhaba anna al-hazan. All praise be to Allah. Finally, our anxiety has been taken away by Him. This shows us that hazan, grief, anxiety, is going to be a part and parcel of our existence until we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is human nature. The prophets felt anxious. The righteous feel anxiety. So the goal is to battle and minimize. The goal is to try to overcome, realizing that ultimately we will never live an anxious-free life in this world. We will never live a stress-free life in this world. That is in the next life. And that is why Jannah is called Darus Salam, the abode of salam, the abode of no harm, no anxiety, no grief, the ultimate abode of peace. So yes, indeed, Jannah is Darus Salam. And we will never eliminate anxiety and grief from our lives. But surely there are mechanisms to diminish. Surely there are ways to combat stress. There are ways to cope with anxiety. And in today's brief khutbah, I will mention five things from the Quran and Sunnah. Five aspects that are directly linked with minimizing our stress, minimizing our anxiety and our problems. And this is something that every one of us can benefit from, because there's not a single person except that something is causing stress. Usually many things are causing stress in our lives. So point number one out of five. Point number one of the things that help us cope with stress, overcome anxiety, battle our grief, is to understand and realize that Allah Azza wa Jal is in control, and that Allah sees all, and that Allah has everything in His plan. Belief in Allah and belief in Allah's qadr is of the most powerful antidotes to combat grief and stress and anxiety. When you're worried, when you're facing a problem, when anxieties overwhelm you, you must remind yourself that Allah is in control, not you. And that Allah sees, and that everything happens by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the ghar, in the cave of Thawr, when the mushrikun were trying to find where he and Abu Bakr were, Abu Bakr himself became worried. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ. Don't worry. لَا تَحْزَنْ. Don't feel that grief. Why? How? What will help you overcome it? إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Allah is with us. The most powerful antidote to grief, to stress, to worry, is to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا تَحْزَنْ. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. When Musa alayhi salam is being pursued by the army of Fir'aun, And they reach the Dead Sea, they reach the Red Sea. There is no place for them to go. In front is the ocean, they don't have ships. Behind them is Fir'aun with his mighty army. And the people of Bani Israel say, that's it. Inna lamudrakun. We shall be caught and we shall be killed. We shall be decimated. And what does Musa say? Kalla. No, that's not going to happen. Why? What did he turn to in times of anxiety? Inna ma'iya rabbi sayahdeen. My Lord is with me. Our Prophet said, Inna Allah ma'ana. Musa says, my Rabb is with me. This is how we battle anxiety and grief. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the battle of Tabuk, in the battle of Ahzab, the Quran mentions multiple verses of the companions facing that grief, facing that anxiety, and then they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they understand, as surah in Surah At-Tawbah, in the battle of Tabuk, as the Sahaba said, قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Nothing is going to happen to me and you except if Allah has already willed it. هُوَ مَوْلَانَا. Allah is my Mawla. My enemies don't control me. The people who hate me don't have any power over me. They are not the people that control this world or the next. Allah is the Mawla. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. So this is point number one. And this is no doubt the strongest point. There is no way to combat the stress of this world effectively without turning to the creator of this world. There is no way to overcome anxiety without understanding that all that is happening by the will and the plan of Allah, and nothing happens except by His plan. So He must have a plan that is better than my plan and your plan. The second mechanism of coping with stress and grief and anxiety, the second mechanism is to understand that in that stress, there is also a blessing. There is also a kafara for our sins. That even in this pain, there is also some gain as well. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith is in Bukhari. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا يُصِيبُ الْمُسْلِمُ مِنْ نَصَبٍ وَلَا وَصَبٍ وَلَا هَمٍ وَلَا حُزٍ وَلَا أَذًا وَلَا غَمٍ. A believer is never afflicted with any nasab, nasab means tiredness, or wasab, wasab means illness, or any ham or huzun. Any ham, ham means a worry of the future. Huzun means a worry of the past. Ham is a worry of the future. What's going to happen to my kids? How will I pay my debt off? How will I cure this sickness? That's ham. Huzun, something happened to you in the past and is causing you grief. A death of a loved one. You had a financial loss. This is huzun. So the Prophet ﷺ said, never does a ham or a huzun. He categorized the internal griefs into the future and the past. And never does any pain or stress, adhan or gham. Gham, you are stressed, you can't think properly because clouds are called ghamam. So when you're stressed, you can't think properly. So literally, gham is like cloudy mind. Never does a believer face any internal or external stress, any ham or huzun, even a thorn that pricks him, except that because of that stress, Allah forgives his sins. Allah causes his sins to become nothing. So when we are faced with stress, we don't want stress. We don't want to be in grief. We don't want to face these problems. But when we're in them, we console ourselves that because of this pain, because of this internal grief, Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive many sins. As Allah says in the Quran, nothing happens to you except because of what you yourselves have done. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. And because of these pains, Allah will forgive many things. مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. No musibah happens to you except because of my sins and your sins. And when that musibah happens, Allah says, وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٍ. Because of that calamity, Allah forgives many, many things. So when we are in stressful situations, when we cannot sleep at night, deep down inside, we need to turn to Allah and realize that what you're going through right now, the pain, the internal grief, inshallah, Allah, it will save you from the grief of the hereafter. The grief of this dunya is bearable. The grief of the hereafter is not. The suffering of this dunya you can cope with. The suffering of the next you cannot. So when you are suffering with the coping of this dunya, then ask Allah to save you from the suffering of the next dunya. That is point number two. Point number three, how do we cope with the stress and with the problems of this dunya? Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us another tactic. And all of these are religious, by the way. Each one is slightly different. This is also a religious tactic. Beautiful hadith in the Sunan of Ibn Majah. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Man ja'ala al-humuma hamman wahidan, hammul ma'ad, kafahu Allahu hamma dunya." Whoever concentrates all of his concerns on one concern, whoever concentrates all of the concerns you have on the one concern, the concern of the akhirah, then Allah shall relieve him of all of his concerns of the dunya. What an amazing hadith. If you start thinking of the problems of the next life, what will I say to Allah? How will I answer Allah on the day of judgment? How can I earn Jannah? If that is what begins to concern you, if you start thinking about the akhirah, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Kafahu Allahu hamma dunyahu." All of the anxiety of this dunya, Allah will take care of it. And then he goes on and he says, "And whoever diversifies his anxiety of all of the anxieties of this world," in other words, he's worried about money, he's worried about family, he's worried about business, he's worried about PR, he's worried about what people say, all of his stress is this world. There is no stress for the hereafter. The Prophet ﷺ said, that person who doesn't care about the akhirah, Allah himself doesn't care how he ends his fate or in what valley he dies in. In other words, Allah has abandoned that person because that person has abandoned Allah. Now this is a very deep psychological point which makes complete sense if you think about it. It's a matter of prioritizing what is most important. It's a matter of understanding that when you realize what is important is the akhirah and the pleasure of Allah, then this world and all of its problems becomes manageable. When you understand that how long can this world last, how long can this grief last, what is going to be the end result, and you understand that there's nothing more important than the eternal life of the hereafter, then all of a sudden the problems of this world become utterly trivial. I mean, to give an example that is not to that level, but you perhaps will get you the point. Imagine somebody is told by his doctor that his heart is going to fail. He has to get a heart transplant right now in the next few weeks or else that is gone. He is gone. And then that person, the stock market goes down and crashes a few points. Do you think that person cares that the stock market has gone down, that he's lost 10, 20, 30% when he's worried about his heart, when he's worried about his entire life? So then how much more so when one is worried about the akhirah and compares the problems of this dunya to the problems of the akhirah? When you concentrate on the akhirah, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will take care of all of the problems of this world. Therefore, one of the strongest mechanisms to cope with the pressures of this dunya is to remind yourselves of the pressures of the akhirah. One of the best ways to overcome the stress of this world is to visualize the stress of the next. And all of a sudden, this dunya, you understand what it is, and you understand it's not worth losing your sleep over, it's not worth falling sick over, it's not worth going into depression because of. If you have Allah, you have everything. If you have a connection with Allah, that's all you need. And if you don't, then all this dunya is not going to be enough for you. So this is point number three, to concentrate your stress and anxiety, to concentrate your ham, as our Prophet said, on the ham of the hereafter. Point number four, very interesting point. Look, most people don't think of it, and yet it is mentioned in the hadith. How do you cope with stress? How do you cope with grief and anxiety? Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man nafasa an mu'minin karbatan min kurabi dunya, nafasa Allahu anhu karbatan min kurabi yawm al-qiyamah." Whoever alleviates a pain and suffering from his brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will alleviate his pain and suffering. In the next, and in one version it says, in this world as well. Whoever conceals the fault of his brother, Allah will conceal his fault. Whoever eases the debt of his brother, Allah will ease his own debt. And it goes on and on, mentioning all the things that a person can do to help another person. When you are in stress, when you are in grief, when you are coping with a tragic loss, one of the ways you can alleviate your own suffering is to alleviate the suffering of other people. And this is very difficult. I mean, let's be honest here. When you're in pain, you're not worried about other people's pain. When you're in grief, the last thing on your mind is, my brother's also in grief. But here's the point. When you stand up and you realize, hey, I have a grief, I cannot solve this, but I can help my brother. I have some extra money, maybe my health is bad, I have some extra money, or I have time, I can take him on his chores, or I can just be a good, you know, cheerful voice in his life. He's going through a difficult loss, his loved one has died, or he's gone through a divorce. I can be with him, be a friend for him. And you sacrifice of your own ego, and you overcome your own grief to help your Muslim brother or sister. And our Prophet ﷺ promised, if you help others, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا دَامَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ. Allah will continually help His servant as long as His servant is helping other people. So when you're in grief, when you're in pain, when you're suffering, one of the best ways to overcome it is to find someone you can help and help them. And subhanAllah, there's also a psychological reality to this as well. Every one of these points, they're spiritual and psychological. As for the psychological reality, the fact of the matter, every one of us is blessed in our own ways, even as we are being tested. Every one of us is blessed even as we're being tested. And when we interact with people that are being tested in different ways, we thank Allah and appreciate that alhamdulillah, I'm not being tested in those ways. We thank Allah and appreciate that indeed I have blessings that I have taken for granted, whether it is my health, whether it is my wealth, whether it is my family. When we interact with other people that are suffering, that are in pain, we thank Allah, alhamdulillah, at least what I have alhamdulillah. And when we help others, Allah Azza wa Jal will help us. Beautiful example, the story of Musa. Once again, Musa and all the prophets are role models. When he is running for his life, when he has not a penny in his pocket, when he has nowhere to go, he's fled from Egypt. Fir'aun is on his back wanting to kill him. This is before he became a prophet. He flees to Midian and he has no helper other than Allah. He has no roof over his head. He has no family to protect him. And yet he finds some ladies in distress and he helps them with his sweat, with his strength. He helps them to feed their goats. When he himself had nothing to give, he gave from his time and energy. When he had not a penny to give, he gave what he could give, which is his strength and his physical presence, and he helped them when they had no one to help them, when their father was elderly and severely sick, as you know. What happened? That one act of charity, when he himself had nothing to give, and he gave, Allah gave him back much more in return. This is the reality we need to be thinking about. Can you imagine how stressed Musa would have been? Can you imagine he doesn't even know what he's going to eat? And that's why he goes to the shade of a tree and says, Rabbi inni faqir, I'm faqir to whatever you can give me. I have nothing, ya Rabb, I am a faqir. Yet when he helped others, Allah Azza wa Jal helped him back. So this is point number four, helping others, even when you're down, even when you're depressed and you're battling your own, find other people to help and help them, and Allah will help you back in return. And point number five, and this is not an exhaustive list, but time is of the essence as always. Point number five, of the ways to relieve our stress, of the ways to overcome anxiety, those inner feelings of doubt, the sleepless nights. Simplest way, the dhikr of Allah, and especially salat and salam upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is authentically narrated that Ubay ibn Ka'b asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much should I do salat and salam upon you? How much? Half of my dhikr, one third of my dhikr, one fourth, or all of my dhikr? Should I give all of my dhikr to you and say salat and salam? And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you give all of the dhikr time to salat and salam, إِذَنْ تُكْفَى هَمَّكْ وَيُغْفَرُ لَكَ ذَنْبَكْ. If you do so, all of your anxiety shall be gotten rid of, and all of your sins shall be forgiven. At times of stress, when the going gets tough, send salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Think of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and make your tongue move with the dhikr of praise to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Send salat and salam upon him and you will see for yourselves, wallahi, your heart will feel the peace, your heart will feel a comfort, because our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised this, and because Allah azza wa jal promises us himself, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, whoever sends salat upon me, Allah will send 10 times the amount upon him. So 10 times the amount will be given when you send salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These are but some of the things that we can do, brothers and sisters, when we are coping with stress and having those anxious feelings. And that is to remember Allah is in control, to have iman in Allah azza wa jal, to understand the meaning of tawakkul and qadr, to understand that this is a means of purification, that through it you are rising ranks, to understand that we should be thinking of the hereafter more than the problems of this world, to see if we can help other people when we ourselves are in need of help, and to send salat and salam upon the Prophet sallallahu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and you with and through the Quran, and may He make us of those who is verses they understand and applies halal and haram throughout our lifespan. I ask Allah's forgiveness, you as well ask Him, for He is the Ghafoor and the Rahman. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. Of course, one of the most obvious mechanisms to cope with stress is to explicitly make dua to Allah to alleviate that stress from you. And there are many du'as that we don't have time to mention in one brief khutbah. But I thought I would mention at least one or two of them so that we are aware. And for those of you that are listening, you can listen online to this again so that you can understand the Arabic. We won't have time to dictate them. But of the du'as in Sahih Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu reports that I would frequently hear the Prophet ﷺ make this du'a. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika من الهم والحزن. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن. Simple dua. I seek refuge in you, O Allah, from ham and hazan. What is ham? Ham is the anxiety for something in the future. Hazan, the grief for something in the past. So he would seek refuge in Allah. O Allah, I seek refuge in you from my mental, from my anxiety, from my grief, from my inner issues. Ya Rab, I turn to you. So memorize this simple dua. Anas ibn Malik said he would frequently say this dua. And it's so simple, even the Arabic. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. I seek refuge in you, O Allah, from ham and hazan. And the next dua that I must mention, and it is a very beautiful one, but it is also very long. So I'll very quickly go over it, but you can listen to it online later on. It is reported from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, and this is a dua that was meant to alleviate grief and stress. It was taught to the companions specifically, explicitly linking it to stress and grief. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, never does a servant of Allah feel anxiety. Ma asaba abdun qat hammun wala hazan. Never does ham or hazan, remember, ham, anxiety for the future. Hazan, grief for something that has happened in the past. Never does a believer face that internal stress except that he makes this dua. I will mention the dua. Except that he makes this dua and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then alleviate that stress and cause the grief to go away and substitute the pain with happiness. أَبْدَلَهُ اللَّهُ مَكَانَ حُزْنِهِ فَرَحًا. Allah will substitute the pain with happiness. This is a dua directly from our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the dua? It is a bit long, so I will say it quickly. اللهم إني عبدك وابن عبدك وابن أمتك ناصيتي بيدك ماض في حكمك عدل في قضاءك أسألك بكل اسم هو لك سمي به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلبي ونور صدري وجلاء حزني وذهاب همي. This is the dua and the summary of it. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by every single name of His, the name that He taught His creation, the name that He sent down in the books, the name that He kept hidden from Himself, hidden from us, He kept it with Himself. You ask Allah with every name of His, that what do you ask Allah? That, O Allah, make the Quran the source of my happiness. Make the Quran the source of my happiness. That's what you ask Allah. When you ask Allah this, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you ask Allah sincerely that the Quran should be the light of your chest and the happiness for your eyes, Allah Azza wa Jal will substitute your grief with happiness and will take away your stress and give you peace in its stead. This beautiful dua, Ibn Mas'ud said, everybody who hears it should memorize it and teach it to others. So I have heard it, I'm teaching it to you. I want you to memorize it and teach it to your family and friends. And you can listen to the recording, or you can find any podcast or any YouTube video that goes over the dua in Arabic, or even say it in English. But this is a specific dua that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught. And very quickly, one last dua as well that our Prophet ﷺ would say at times of stress and grief, and that is Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakeel. We all know this one, and it is one of the most powerful du'as to be said at times of stress and grief. Our Prophet ﷺ taught the Sahaba, and he himself utilized this du'a at times of stress. Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakeel, and there are other du'as as well, but these three should be sufficient for this khutbah of ours, brothers and sisters. Being stressed and being constantly worried about something, anxious about something, at some level, it is going to be a part of our existence until we leave this world. But the goal is to minimize. The goal is to overcome. The goal is to live as stress-free a life as possible. And the only way to do this overall, we gave you five mechanisms. All of them go back to connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in Him, being good to others, remembering dhikr of Him and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, salat. All of this is of the most powerful antidotes to combat stress and grief. And then inshallah, eventually the day will come when me and you inshallah will enter Jannah. And we too will say, Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anna al-hazan. That is my goal and your goal. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. Allahumma la tad'a fa'hal yawmi thamman illa ghafarta. Wala hamman illa farrajta. Wala daynan illa qadayta. Wala maridan illa shafayta. Wala asiran illa yassarta. Allahumma aghfir lana wa li ikhwanina alladhina sabaquna bil iman. Wala taj'a fi qulubina ghillan lilladhina amanu. Rabbana innaka ra'ufur rahim. Allahumma a'izzal islam wal muslimin. Allahumma a'izzal islam. الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فاشغله بنفسه وجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز عباد الله إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه فقال عز من قائل عليما إن الله وملائكة يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك بارك وأنعم على عبدك رسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين عباد الله إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر وأقم الصلاة
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب